You are invited to the 65th Annual Bethany Baptist Church Spiritual Revival and Missions Conference on August 3rd and August 5th through the 10th. Our keynote speaker will be Reverend Alan Parr Jr., creator of the YouTube ministry The Beat, which stands for Biblical Encouragement and Truth. Plan to join us and be blessed by the Word of God, uplifting praise and worship, and awesome missionary testimonies. We know that you will be encouraged in your faith. For information, visit the Bethany Baptist Church website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org, or call the church office at 412-242-3255. Thank you.
Welcome, Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Heaven, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Heaven, Part 1.
Okay, so I start off with the book that I wrote, and a lot of information, or I say all the information that I'm teaching comes from the book, and there's a whole lot more. I go into a lot more detail in the book on some of these answers. So if you don't have the book, I encourage you to get it. Heaven, Answers for Today and Hope for Tomorrow. It's at the Bethany Bookstore. Or if you can't make it, if you let Naomi know, we can get a copy to you. All right. So we looked at the biblical titles for heaven. We looked at the location of heaven, description of heaven, occupants of heaven, activities in heaven. We looked at all that last week. And so now we're going to start, and somebody asked this question last week, how old will we be when we get to heaven? You know, what is our age in heaven? So the Bible does not specifically say how old that we'll be when we get to heaven. Just think, if you have loved ones, I think of my mom who died at the age of 78. I think of young kids that died, maybe even in infancy. You wonder how are they going to be when they get to heaven? I know, like many of our relatives that, got up in the old age, they start having physical issues. I'm not where my mother was, but I already can see physical issues in my body. I just know that she had a lot of physical issues. And, I'd like to think that, in heaven, first of all, and we're going to talk about this also, is that, she don't have those physical issues anymore. So praise God for that. But how old is she? How old is that baby that died, when they get to heaven? And so there's been several suggestions that have been offered. Somebody said, well, it's the age a person was when they got saved. That's one speculation as to how old a person is. Somebody else said it's the age the person was when they died. That's another one. Here goes one, the same age that Jesus was when he died. When you think of the scripture that says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So it says that we shall be like him. And so some people say, well, he died at 30 years of age, and he was in his prime. And that's how old we will be when we get to heaven. And then, if you look at God created Adam and Eve, how old were Adam and Eve when he created them? So somebody said, well, that's the original creation, then we'll probably be the same age as Adam and Eve when we get to heaven. So I would like to propose this, that we should not evaluate how old we're going to be or look at age. But I think more than that, we need to look at, the appearance, because I don't know that we're going to have an age, when we get to heaven. So, you know, again, you got the little baby that might have died at 3 months. You know, you got Harry Belafonte, right? He died, I think he was, what, 94 years old? So, you know, you see a great disparity between the age difference of people who die. So I would like to say, you know, we shouldn't necessarily think of it as far as age is concerned, but maybe appearance. That, you know, did God create Adam and Eve a certain age? Well, probably not, but he created them to appear a certain way, right? When he created Adam out of the dust of the earth, Adam looked a certain way. You know, so Adam hadn't lived 30 years or 40 years. You know, Adam didn't have any age on him when God created him. God just created him. And so you look more at, well, how did he appear? When he created Eve, you know, Eve wasn't 30 years old or 45 years old. He just took Eve from the side of Adam and created her. So both of them had some type of appearance. They looked a certain way. And so the fact is that we will be, because, you know, again, if you say, well, you know, we're going to be 30 years old, you know, when we get to heaven, then that, does that mean after 1 year, we're going to be 31, you know? So no, I like the term ageless, right? That we won't age in heaven. We'll just, I keep going back to this, whatever form that God allows us to appear in, you know, that will be how we will be throughout eternity. And so I like that little phrase there, fit forever and forever young. We will always have that youthful appearance, you know. And you know, I've been watching the NBA basketball playoffs, and you know, it's amazing. I tell you what, you might not be a basketball fan, but you look at those young men, it's amazing. The things that they can do, you know, with their bodies. I mean, just jump and stay up in the sky, you know, for seconds, you know, to take off from one point and go up in the air and jam a basketball with two hands, to turn around and without even seeing the hoop and shoot the ball and the ball. I mean, it's just amazing what these young guys can do. And just think, you know, we'll be forever young. So again, when we talk about how old will we be in heaven, again, I think that maybe we need not think in terms of age, but just think more in terms of appearance. You know, how will we appear? And that will be the appearance that we have throughout eternity. All right, what about our bodies in heaven? What kind of bodies will we have in heaven? Well, Paul said that Christ will change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And that is in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Christ had a glorified body. It was unlike our natural flesh and blood bodies. And his body was incorruptible. That means that it wasn't tainted by the ravages of sin, and his body was immortal. That means that, you know, he will live forever. And so in his body. So, you know, I believe that, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll see Jesus and we'll see those nail prints, you know, in his hands. That those nail prints will be a reminder throughout eternity of what Christ did for us. They will be a reminder throughout eternity that the only reason that we're there is because of what Christ did for us. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. So when you think about what kind of bodies will we have in heaven, well, it's going to be like Christ's glorious body, right? And furthermore, we will have real bodies. but they will not be sinful bodies made out of flesh and blood, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, he had a glorified body that was made of flesh and bones. You know, remember he told Thomas to touch him, right? And so his body was made out of flesh and bones. So again, you know, unlike our sinful bodies, you know, his body was untainted by sin. So if you want to think again in terms of Adam and how that when God created Adam, that Adam had a flesh and blood body, but his body was without sin. You know, it did not know corruption. It did not know defilement, that his body was not a sinful body. So, you know, when we get to heaven, you know, we will have bodies, and that these bodies, you know, will not be sinful bodies. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, if you got sin in your body, you know, you're not going to be able to get in. We will have flesh and blood bodies because Jesus had a flesh. And what the scripture says in Luke 24, verse 39, flesh and bones, but, you know, flesh, you know, automatically means that you know, you got blood too. So, you know, we will have flesh and blood bodies when we get to heaven, but they will be glorified bodies. And again, remember that Paul says that this mortal shall put on immortality. So, you know, what does that mean? That means that that, you know, we'll live forever. Mortality. Mortality means that you're going to come to an end, that you're going to cease, that you're going to die. Immortality means that you're going to live forever. And then he said, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. So what is the corruptible? You know, this body of sickness and disease and sin, you know, it's going to put on incorruption. It's going to put on perfection. You know, at that point, and you know, we don't have to worry about going to the doctors anymore. You know, we don't have to worry about medication anymore. You know, we don't have to worry about any of these frailties of the flesh. You know, again, you know, just think of your loved one that is in heaven. You know, they don't have to, you know, it goes back to that old song that the slaves used to sing, right? Soon we'll be done with the troubles of this world, right? And so our loved ones that knew Christ and that have gone on to be with him, they are done with the troubles of this world. They are done with the illnesses of this world. They are done with the sicknesses of this world. So, you know, from that standpoint, you know, we have something to long for. We long for heaven, you know, not only because first and foremost that we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, right? We long to be in God's presence, right? You know, we desire that. You know, I think of the song Beulah Land, you know, and a part of the song says, Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. You know, now, you know, we might not want to go today because God has more work here for us to do, but there should be that desire, you know, to be with God and to know that when we stand in his presence, that he's going to give us a new body. Right. And that we'll have don't have to worry about the sin and sickness of this world. All right. Now, here goes something. I don't know if you ever thought about this. All right. So, again, I talk about this in my book. When you die. OK, maybe you don't want to think about that right now. I understand. But when you die, your body goes into the ground, or more and more people today are choosing cremation. So, you know, a lot of people are being cremated. And I'm going to talk about cremation here in a second also. But when you die, your body goes into the ground, and your soul, your spirit, you know, who you are goes to be with the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 5:8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when you die, you are absent from your body. So your body goes into the ground, right? Or again, your body is cremated. Okay. Whatever you decide to do. Now, when you get to heaven, you just show up as a soul. Now, do you have a body then, or do you have to wait for your body to be resurrected? you know, because your body will be resurrected. Let me read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and even your loved ones, their bodies are in the ground right now, you know, if they were buried, or, you know, like I said, cremation, you know, their ashes at this point. So they don't, you know, they don't have their body right now. You know, their body is still in the ground. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep. Okay, so he's talking about those who have died, and even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Well, how's he going to bring them with him if their body is in the ground, right? Well, he's bringing their soul and their spirit back. So when Christ comes back, you know, he's coming back with, and so, you know, again, I'm going to show you my point here. He's coming back with the soul and the spirit of that person, right? Now I'm going to show you something here in a second, and it might seem a little contradictory, but it's not. Okay. And for verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain. So if you are here when the rapture takes place, if you are alive and remain, that you will not go before those who are already dead, right? And it says here, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So what's going to rise? If your soul is already in heaven, and when the trumpet sounds, what's going to rise? Your body, right? Your body is going to be what rises. So that lets us know that people who die and who have died right now, they're in heaven, but they don't have their body. Why? Because their body is still here on this earth. Okay. So let me go ahead and finish reading. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, you know, here we see that when people die, their body goes into the ground. Their body goes into the ground, and their spirit and their soul goes to heaven. So when you die now, since your body is here on this earth, what kind of body will you have when you get to heaven? Well, let me read another verse to you, because we will have some kind of body. We're just not going to be in heaven spirits floating around. Okay. So when you get to heaven, you will have some body, but it won't be your body, because your body will still be here on this earth. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, so what is our earthly house? That's our bodies, right? So when our bodies die, and this is a powerful word picture that Paul is giving here in 2 Corinthians 5, because he's talking about a tent. Now, we all know that Paul was a tent maker, right? And so Paul says that when you take this tent down and you fold it up and you tuck it away, because that's what they would do to a tent, right? As they travel from place to place, they would take the tent down and they would put it in a package or some type of carrying container and carry it to the next site. So he says that when your earthly house of this tabernacle is folded up and tucked away, look at this. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. So there's another body that awaits us when we get to heaven. He says, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven. So what does it mean to be clothed? It means to have a body, okay? And if so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So when we get to heaven, we're not going to be naked, or in other words, spirits walking around heaven. For we know that in this tabernacle, in this earthly body, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, you know, to not just be a spirit, but that we would be clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. So Paul seems to indicate when we hear that when we die and we go to heaven, since our bodies are here on this earth, that you know, we will receive some other type of body until our body is resurrected. So he says that, you know, we will not be unclothed. And to be unclothed means to be without a body. He said, but we will be clothed with some type of body. So, you know, what kind of body will that be? You know, I don't know. You know, God got it all worked out. He just, you know, again, says that, you know, we're not going to be spirits floating around in heaven, but we will have bodies until our body is resurrected. And then he says that this mortal shall put on immortality and that this corruptible shall put on incorruption. So, you know, I like to put it like this, and this might be a bad analogy, right? This might be a bad analogy, but I think it's going to get to the point that I'm trying to make. Have you ever had to put your car in the shop, right? You know, something was wrong with your car and you put it in the shop. And now all places don't do this, but some places do. They give you a loaner and they let you use that until your car is fixed. And then when your car is fixed, you give the loaner back and then, you know, you drive your car. So again, that might not be the best analogy, but it might be something similar to that, that, you know, when we get to heaven, you know, God will give us some type of body, we'll use that loaner body, right, until our bodies are resurrected, and then, you know, we'll receive our bodies. And see, when we receive our bodies, again, keep in mind that it's going to be incorruptible, that when God raises up our body, it's going to be incorruptible, and that when God raises up our body, it's going to be immortal. It's going to live forever. All right. So I'm sure we might have a lot of questions on what I just now taught. And feel free to ask your questions, or, you know, if you want to, you know, and I might not see it, but I think Naomi monitors the chat. So if she sees it, she, you know, she can, at the end, she can ask me. All right. Cremation. What about cremation? Because more and more people are opting out for cremation. Now, I did a brochure. I have a brochure that if you would like the brochure, you know, I have it electronically. If you will let me know, I can email you the brochure that I did on cremation. Or if you want a hard copy, you can call Naomi and I'll give her a hard copy and she can send that to you. So I did a whole brochure, or pamphlet on cremation. And I go into a lot of details there, you know, about, you know, burial and cremation, you know, what does the Bible say? You know, I get into all that, you know, are there examples of cremation in the Bible? Which is the one that the Bible promotes, cremation or burial? So I get into all that. So I don't have time to do that this afternoon. So I would encourage you, if you want the pamphlet, to let me know and I can send it to you. Or again, if you need a hard copy, Naomi can send that out to you. All right. So what is cremation? Cremation is the act of our bodies returning to ashes. So when people are cremated, you know, that their bodies are turned to ashes. You know, I remember I did the service of somebody that was cremated.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Heaven, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Heaven, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Heaven, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Heaven Part 1 from our Bible Prophecy Series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook. Please visit our website, InkHurtInJesus.org, or send it to InkHurtInJesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is InkHurtInJesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to InkHurtInJesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, InkHurtInJesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.